Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two here at the Outdoor Show. And I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman. And producing this morning is the one and only Chris Jones. Good to have him here with me and keeping things going as we remotely work through kind of a different format, different kind of, well, everything's different, you know, not being in studios and everything else, but it's all working out good. And I appreciate everybody being patient with a little different format. I know we'll get back to normal one of these days, get all this Corona stuff behind us, and get our cast of characters back on the air, so you know you can hear some of the talent on the coast and upper lakes and area lakes around here that give us reports weekly and discuss all different fishing presentations and techniques with them, and they'll be welcome back as soon as we can get things right. But real quick, I guess weather-wise, looking at winds along the coast right now, Eagle Point's showing a south wind, kind of south-southeast at 11. It's not too bad yet, but they are talking, you know, it's going to get up to like 15 to 20 today. And the North Jetty right now showing a south wind at 8. Galveston Fishing Pier south at 7. San Luis Pass down there, or San Luis Pass, however you like to pronounce it, southeast at 7. But we are getting there, and looks like forecast today for Galveston. It's going to be, may have a record temperature today. They're calling for a high of, I think it's going to be 79 today and possibly 81 tomorrow. Both those will be records if those do hold up. But partly cloudy this afternoon and near record high temperatures. South-southeast winds 10 to 20 tonight, increasing to 15 to 25 miles per hour. And then for tomorrow, pretty much the same, south-southeast 10 to 20. Looking at pollen, grass pollen's high down on the island. Air quality is moderate, depending on where you're at. And UV index will be high today, very high, scale of 9. And dry conditions will continue, they're saying. So, but if you have any questions you want to ask or anything, we have no call lines. We can't call out or receive calls incoming. Just send me a text at 713-480-6713, or you can do it by Facebook Messenger, whatever you're comfortable with, however you want to do it. And one guy just messaged me on Facebook, can you mention the mono you like to use, cigar or which one? Well, for casting on my reel, I like to use the Berkeley Sensation. I use that, and depending on what color you can get, I like to order it in bulk spools. Sometimes you can get it in the orange, the high visible orange, or you can get it in the kind of the sea green and 10 or 12 pound test. Plog turned me onto that line. You know, I was really, you know, kind of searching for a different mono from the regular Berkeley ones I'd use, like Big Game, and you know, the XL, that's just a little bit too soft for me. Now, it casts like a dream. You can throw a country mile with it and everything, but it was just too soft and too stretchy for me. I like a little bit stiffer line where I don't get that stretch, you know, when I hook a, you know, like a redfish or, you know, a big fish that, you know, your line will stretch a mile before the drag starts going out, it seems like. I hate that feeling. You know, I guess braid spoiled me for all the years I threw that, but anyway, that's pretty much what I go to, 10 and 12 pound test. Now, Seaguar, their new gold label fluorocarbon, there's nothing like it. That stuff is big time. the Gold label. I've been using that, I don't know, for about 3 or 4 months now. It's their newest line, and it has a, it's like 18% stronger and 17% thinner than other fluorocarbons. They use all these big high-tech resins in it, and you get, man, the tensile strength on it's incredible. Plus, you know, when you're cinching down knots, I mean, they cinch up beautifully with it. And you don't get any failures, you know, any knots coming undone or breakage at the knot and all that. So consider those, the Seaguard Gold label and that Berkeley Sensation. I really like them. Good combination for me anyway. And anyway, well, that text was not pertaining to the outdoors. I'll answer that off air to somebody else later, somebody that knows me. They were talking about the stimulus package and all that. I'm not really wanting to get into anything like that. Here's another one. I don't know whether this is a report or what it is. Been fishing deep to shallow, a lot of tide movement. I prefer outgoing. I finally tried the Little John, and it's been the go-to for 2 months for me now. And the pattern has been throw up current and do nothing but watch your line for a tick. Sometimes you can feel the bite. Don't set the hook, reel as in, you know, reel in as much slack or when you can, or set the hook, all this stuff. And we release several fish, everything over 20 inches and 4 over 25. I haven't killed many trout over 25 inches in 18 years. But Saturday, he unfortunately gill hooked a 27-incher, and it had to be filleted. This is a problem with the do-nothing pattern. He said, I live on the waterfront and don't have to use a ramp. Just a longer boat ride. I'm going fishing this weekend. Thanks. Captain Jim from Angleton. Okay. Hadn't heard from him in a while. He used to call in quite a bit. But another text. Good morning, Captain Mickey. Great show. I'm enjoying all the great lessons on finding fish and how to target them. Please talk about fishing plastics on different water columns and retrieve. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, saw plastics. I mean, that's the most versatile bait we have in our arsenal, so to speak, as fishermen. I mean, that's what I like about it. You can use it from a foot of water all the way out to 20 foot of water if you want to. The jig head you use that you attach it to, that's the most important part of it. Is you know, size it up with a depth of water you're fishing with. I know when I'm wading, you know, sometimes on days when you're having to make a really long cast and throw a country mile and just work the heck out of it, you know, you can get by with a quarter ounce head. I mean, I've got buddies that fish with a 3/8 ounce head while they're wade fishing, and they smoke them. And it just, you know, it depends on the fish, and it depends on, you know, what time of year it is and all that. But shallow, you know, I like to, you know, I carry anything from my 16th ounce. I have some 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce in my wading box, you know, with all my hard baits and soft plastics and everything that I carry just to experiment with, see which soft plastic works the best. You know, jig head works the best on the soft plastic you're throwing. A lot of times it isn't the color or the soft plastic bait itself. A lot of times it's the size jig head you're using and the way you secure it to your line, the way you tie it on or use a clip or what have you. And, you know, as you go deeper, you know, just and then I have seen other scenarios when you're out deep in 8, 9, 10 feet of water and you're having to, you got a crosswind with an incoming tide or an outgoing or whatever, where you're having to throw up current and bring that lure back, downsize your jig head size because your lure is going to sink faster when you're pulling it back to you in the current. Now, if you're going against the current, then you got to go the opposite way, the way you're having to set your boat up and you know, throw to the fish. If you're coming back against the current, then you got to go to a bigger jig head, something heavier, where you can get it down in the water column depending on where the fish are at, whether it's suspended, they're hanging on the bottom. Most of the time, when you're fishing a heavier current, those fish are going to be on the bottom. They're gonna adjust their positioning, you know, from a foot all the way to the bottom itself, you know, a foot up off the bottom. And then when you bring that bait, you can bounce it down off the bottom or off the top of their heads or bring it up just above them. Most of the time, when they're down low, their eyes are going to be looking up. They're going to be focused on what's going on above them. And And then in other scenarios, like redfish, if they're hanging on the bottom, a lot of times they're bottom feeding. They're definitely picking crustaceans and, you know, small grass shrimp or whatever they can out of the mud or the shell off the bottom itself. So, you know, that all that comes into play. Just don't worry too much with it. Just, you know, if you make a cast and you get a hit, remember what you were doing. You know, stay in contact with your lure and make sure you know where that bait's at, whether it's deep, it's midways up, or it's on the surface. And if you pull into an area and you're fishing, as soon as your lure hits the water and you hook up on a fish, well, that tells you right there that fish is up in the water column. And then you might be able to have some fun. If they want it on top, then you go to a light jig head and work it really crazy and fast, stopping and starting it, coming back to you, drawing all your strikes. Then you can put on, you know, like a Lele or a hot rod, some kind of twitch bait, Miradine, or even a topwater, and really have some fun, you know, experiencing those good hard strikes with a hard bait. You know, soft plastic, you know, everybody goes, man, they love the thump. But, man, I sure like the slam dunk when they hit a, you know, hit a hard bait. It's just better. One guy says a hot rod or a hot rod S. Well, that depends. The floating hot rod, you know, that floats when you throw it out and then take it down like the Lele, I'm pretty favorable to that. But, you know, it depends on the time of year and where the fish are. We're just talking about that with soft plastics. You know, go to the sinker, you know, the hot rod S or the Lele S, and work it slower and get it down in the water column and see how many strikes you draw that way. And then here's another one. What would you say is the best lake in South Texas for fishing from the shore? That said, would you say Wade and Galveston Bay or fishing from the beach a best bet? Well, I guess he meant bay. What would you say is the best bay in South Texas for fishing from the shore? Well, that depends on how you're fishing. You know, whether you're fishing for panfish or you're targeting predator fish like speckled trout, redfish, things like that, and the time of year. If you're fishing from the shoreline and you don't have access to a pier and you don't wade fish, you know, you want to fish an area that has deep water access real nearby, something that you can throw to and fish deeper, and then work your lure or your live bait, whatever you're fishing with, back towards you where it shallows up, and find the depth those fish are hanging at. And that's that's just bank fishing, period. I mean, whether you're freshwater or saltwater. One listener said, when using mono, as you just mentioned, do you use a leader? And if so, when do you use it? Well, I use a fluorocarbon leader all the time. Unless I'm really hot and heavy in the fish and I break a leader off or whatever, then I'll tie on direct. But most of the time I try to stick with a leader. It gives me that little more sense of, you know, just, I, you know, that security sense where, you know, if you do get a really big fish on and it's hooked deep, you know, and the teeth are rubbing on the line, well, I like to tone it up to anywhere from a 20 to 25, even 30-pound leader. Depends on what you're catching. You know, you're getting them big bull reds and stuff, and a lot of those are in the area. I'll go with 30-pound. Just for the security aspect of it. But with mono, I like using a leader, and I like using a small barrel swivel just to cut down on the line twist in my mono, because, you know, a lot of these baits that we work, we want them to run straight and back to us, but especially like when you're throwing a corky or something, we get that spin out of it when we do all the jigging with it, and a lot of lures like that. And when you do that continuously, hundreds of casts a day, you're going to get a line twist. And that's why I stick with a small barrel swivel, and then I'll tie my lure onto the fluorocarbon down below. But I'll take the 12-pound or 10-pound mono, go to the 20, 25-pound leader, then your lure on the end of the leader, and that reduces a lot of line twist. Now, you know, with braid, I'll just tie like a blood knot or a surgeon's knot or whatever and attach the fluorocarbon to the braid itself, and then, you know, go from there. But Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 418 here in the Bayou City. Welcome to the Outdoor Show. And a little different format going on. We're not able to call out, and nobody's able to call in due to how we're spread out, and everybody's remote now. But we'll get back to normal one of these days, and we're just going to get through this and make the most of it and have as much fun as we can. And I'm real sorry a lot of you are affected by the coronavirus lockdown and all that, but hey, if we all work together and get this thing on a down path, and we'll live to fish another day. That's what I'm looking forward to. I got to have a few more years at this before they want to take me. But I did get a text from my buddy Plog, and he said, "You're doing good, bro." He was laughing, but he said, "Glad you're still working." But he said yesterday he had 14 trout, 3 flounder, and 1 red, and he was using pink and silver sheep up topwaters. And anyway, he caught them, the flats on the flounder. We call them flats, but he caught them on sea shads, swim baits, paddle tails. And his guys, you think they were throwing slamming chickens, and they had a couple of good fish. They had 2 over 5 yesterday, and he said the best pattern for him was working really shallow, knee-deep water, and that'd be ankle-deep on me, James, but I can get in there with you. It's just I love it when I have to take him out deep. Let's go out deep and drown, bud. But, no, he can grow on you. He'll go, but anyway, that's Plog. He's fishing down on the West End. He lives there at Tiki, and he's just making the most of it with his clients and doing what he can do. And I had another text listener. And if you do want to text in and ask a question, it'll I'm enjoying this. I've got really some good questions coming in this morning. Text me at 713-480-6713. Or if you feel better on Messenger, just message me on Facebook. You can type Mickey Eastman in. I believe you might be able to find me. But or even go to the Sicko page. This listener asked, do soft plastics get old? He said, I have some. They've been in storage for a couple of years. Got them out. They look to be okay to me, not dried out or anything. And he said, I really appreciate your show from Mark and Almeida. Stay safe, Captain. Mark, they do get old. They will. It depends on the element you commit them to. A lot of guys will get their soft plastics wet, like they'll put them in a storage compartment or something in their boat, and they get wet, and they'll lose their color. But don't throw them away. Take them out of the package, line them out on the bow of your boat or somewhere out in the direct sunlight during the day, in the heat of the day, and that sunlight will bring that color and those baits back to life for you. And then if it does dry them out a little bit, you can get you some anise oil of sweet anise or something like that, and or any kind of scent stuff, like garlic scent or any of that, and spray some of that on those baits, and when you put them back in the package, and they'll come back to life for you big time. So if you do get your plastics all messed up from being wet, don't throw them away. Put them out in the sun, and the sun will revitalize those baits. They'll come back to their beautiful natural color again. That was a good question. And here's a guy. He's pushing on me already, any Matagorda report and all that, but I'm trying to get to that. I talked to Charlie Paradosky for quite some time yesterday. Steven Seabrook, do you prefer to tie the lure with a loop knot, regular cinch, or use some of the quick snap swivel connects like the Norton or the Spro? That's another good question. All of the above, Steve. It just kind of depends. I like the loop knot the best. Like if I'm just trying directly to my leader material, I'll tie the loop knot. And then if you don't want to mess with the loop knot and having to retie all the time, then you can go to those good snaps and to change your lures out with, where you don't have to keep retiring that loop, because once you keep doing that, you know how much line it eats up. It starts eating the length of your leader up. And that's a good question. But the Nortons are good for bigger-eyed baits. But like if you use a Corky, the wire baits like that, that bait will spin itself off of that Norton. That's why I like the, if I'm using those, I'll use those clips. you know, just the regular snaps in the spro or something else. But those twist ons, that's the only downside to those is like when you're using a corky and you're working that bait and all of a sudden your old line goes slack and goes, where'd my lure go? You reel it in and go, man, it spun itself off the bait. Because you know how the corkies will twist and turn when you're jigging them and everything. And here's another one. Sir, have you ever fished with a lure called a salad spoon? And no, I have not. That's a new one on me, salad spoon. I've eaten, well, I usually eat salad with a fork, but that sounds good, salad spoon. Here's another one. Sounding good, Captain. Have you heard of the break-ins are still occurring at the Sheldon boat ramp? They never stop. It's been going on for years, and it's just it's remote, and it's going to happen. So if you go there, you might as well just leave your truck unlocked. Just roll the windows down for them, and that way they can ransack through your truck without breaking your windows out or anything like that. That's the only drawback to that. That's why I don't talk about that place much. Because I'd hate to send somebody out there to go catch some big bass or, you know, those big brim, and then they get their truck destroyed while it's there. So, but anyway, let me do a quick Matagorda report. You know, I was talking to Charlie yesterday, and he's run five or six straight in a row, but now he's getting a lot of cancellations. That's happened to a lot of guys right now. A lot of people they're just canceling right now, and due to the crisis we're in, and a lot of people are losing their jobs, and I really feel bad for all these folks. It's happened to me this week. My wife lost her job after 35 years with the same company, and it's a gut punch, man. And but we're going to bounce back from this. Hopefully all this is temporary, and just hang in there. And I really feel bad, and it's unfortunate. A lot of families are having to go through this, but it's just one of those things. Nothing we can do about it. But, no, talking to Charlie yesterday, West Bay, he's been going down there a little bit and doing his wade fishing that he likes to do. And he said fishing was really good. He was wading with topwaters in 2 to 3 feet of water. And he said the afternoon bite was best, especially on piles and schools of mullet. And he was using, said that the preferred bait, the best bait out of all the baits they were throwing on these fish were Spook Juniors. And he said the best color combination was that smoky gray with a green head. He said he had a guy, one of his customers, was lighting them up with that bait in the Spook Junior. That's the, you know, the baby spook, or, you know, a lot of people call it different things. But it's a really great bait. And he said 7M floaters were working well for him, too, in the mirror lure, those 7Ms. And that's always been a good bait since I've been doing this for over 40 years this time of year. In the springtime, I don't know what it is about that bait, but it, you know, it floats. It, you know, that I think that's what's unique about the Lilies. It's similar to that. Now the Lily will have a little more action on it when you jig it down and everything, but the 7M will float when you throw it out there. It's a floater, but you can jig it down and do a lot of dancing with it under the surface. You know, get it down about 6 or 8 inches where those trout feel more comfortable striking a bait just below the surface than they do on the surface. And he said hot rod and Lilies were hot and good too. And he said slick activity's been good this week, but he said they're not strong smelling. It's the type of bait fish they're feeding on now, these smaller crustacean type, well, you know, just the micro shads and the glass minnows. That's been, you know, that you just don't get that scent with it like when they're eating bigger shad or mullet or shrimp, you know, that big sweet smell. But he said you can definitely sight the fish and follow them down the shoreline as with the slick activity the way it is. And he said there at the harbor, the bait camp has finally got some live bait, and the East Bay drifters, they're doing a lot better with live shrimp under a popping cork. You can use gulp too, but live shrimp's definitely working the best, and they're using a popping cork in 4 to 5 feet of water, and they're doing best over hard to scattered shell. And you know, drifting color changes, streaks and slicks were, you know, where you can find them, working those slicks where bait fish is prevalent. That's a good pattern for success, he said. So, you know, and whatever Charlie says, take it to the bank. And, you know, timing's critical wade fishing, he said, you know, with better catches coming early and late. But the other day his best catching was definitely later in the day. You know, that morning it was kind of a grind and scattered, you know, just pecking on them here and there and back and forth. But the better catch rates and the better bite was definitely later in the day. He said that afternoon they really let off. But that's, you know, that's Matagorda to fishing right now. East Bay, the waders there, they are catching a few fish wading, not like you can do in West Bay where Charlie's been going down there, but the better fish. And he said a lot bigger and better fish are coming out of East Bay by the drifters, and which is it's the way it's been for years down there. And let's see here. My brother Andy Guy, I guess that's how you'd pronounce it, caught a 10.08-pound black bass yesterday on Conroe. Well, congratulations to him. That's awesome. That's pretty good. You know, talking to Richard earlier, you know, yesterday and in doing his report earlier, he's been talking about several double-digit bass being caught the last couple of weeks. You know, it's not uncommon for somebody to pop one of those big girls. So awesome to him. I hope they released it and it lives to fight another day. Make more babies. How about that? So, good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 5:34 here in the Bayou City. And kind of a new format, but if you're just tuning in, welcome to the show. And we're getting through this. We have no call lines. You know, we're all remote, and everybody's doing their due diligence to participate in the social distancing, so to speak, and lockdown or sequester, whatever you want to call it. But we're all here, and it's all fine. And, you know, I'm just glad to keep the outdoor show running here for everybody and, you know, have something positive, some kind of positive input in your life, because definitely the rest of it's been pretty negative here of late. But we enjoy talking about our outdoors, and our outdoor community is it's special. It's priceless. So many good people, really good people. Got another text in. Good morning, Captain Mick. Been fishing a long time and getting older, tired of wrestling anchors, and he's saying he's going to invest in a trolling motor, and they're mighty proud of him, big money. He has a 21-foot boat, and he's looking at the 24-volt, 80-pound thrust, 60-inch shaft with GPS spot lock. Just, you know, he said, talk about lessons learned and pros and cons. Thanks, Captain, and God bless. With that 21-foot boat, I mean, you can get by with that 24-volt system and an 80-pounder, but I'd recommend just going the next step up and get to 36-volt. I know you're going to have an expense of another $100 battery, and but, man, when you get a good windy day, or especially with a spot lock, you know, the pros and cons with that, you know, I know guys that have them, and they're remote control and all that. And I'm a stick guy, you know, always have been. I always try to stay in control of the trolling motor. Sometimes that hurts me and sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, if you can, go ahead and upgrade. Go ahead and get the, you know, the 105-pound thrust with a 60-inch shaft and the 36-volt, and you'll have more reserve power and plus power when you need it. You know, we always talk about how crucial it is to, when you get close to those fish, to tone that trolling motor down and run it slower and more quietly. Now, the thing with a spot lock, when you put it in the anchor mode, if you're in kind of shallow water, you know, in that 3 to 5 foot range, you're going to spook those fish with that, especially on a windy day, because what's going to happen, that thing is going to be working hard and keep turning up and speeding up and trying to adjust and compensate for the wind and everything else to hold you in place, and that's going to spook the fish. I've seen it happen a million times, and in certain situations like that, it's better to either put the power pole down or slide that anchor over or whatever, or just, you know, that's just part of fishing. You know, we all wish for calm days where you can be real stealthy in your boat and you can get close to those fish, especially when they're shallow, but it's, that's what, God gave us 2 feet in a shallow shoreline to wade fish with, so it's the way we roll that way. Got another one. Where do the surf trout go in the winter? That's a good question. Do they head deeper offshore? Or do they migrate to the bay? Something I've always wondered about. You and myself and a lot of us, you know, we always have that influx in the summer, usually mid-May, of what we call tide runners, you know, those surf runners, tide runners, what have you. We'll get an influx of those that'll come in through the jetties and our passes, and they'll spread out and team up with our resident fish in the bays. What those fish do, I don't even think Texas Parks and Wildlife knows what those fish do when they return to the Gulf, or, you know, once they come in, or do they leave? And that's a very unstudied, you know, habit of tracking these fish, knowing what they do. You know, I'm a firm believer that when we had all these extreme floods in Galveston Bay and Sabine Lake and Calcasieu Lake, a lot of those fish ended up into the surf, flushed completely out, the ones that left. And if you look at the way the Gulf is structured and how it's laid out, those steering currents, the hard current runs from the northeast to the southwest. And I think a lot of those fish ended up hitting that current, and the bait fish that was they were with. Naturally, you know, if the trout are getting flushed, so is the bait fish, your big schools of mullet and things like that. And they end up going down the coast where they find better salinities. And if the bait pulls in through passes, those fish are going to follow them there and end up in another bay system. I really believe that. And some guys I know down south do too, because they were catching fish down there during these floods that we were experiencing that didn't look like the normal fish that lived in their bay systems. They were a lot shorter and fatter, you know, and that's more of an upper coast looking trout. You know, the farther south you go, the longer those fish are and the leaner they are, and except for certain times of year, you know, like down in Corpus area and Baffin, those fish get pretty fat from that winter feeding they do all year before they're spawned. Then they'll snake out as the temperatures warm up. So that's a good question. I wish I had a real firm answer for you, but I really don't. That's something a lot of us would like to know. Says, here's another one. Hey, Captain, this lockdown is a big inconvenience for sure, but my freezer is full of deer. I took to the Belleville Meat Market because from your recommendation. There is nothing better than the hamburger meat they make with deer and brisket. Not sure you ever mention it, but it is the bomb, and that's what I've always promoted from the Belleville. Their hamburger meat made with deer, you know, with venison, and then their 30% brisket. That combination right there, none better. That's all I eat. I never buy a hamburger at the store anymore. It's always Belleville, and their quality control, and they just do such a fine job. That is just so awesome, and glad to see that, you know, you're enjoying your product from there, and I'm glad it's working out. Nothing beats a Belleville Meat Market in my books. That's a fact. And here's another one. Thanks, Captain. Looking for a new trolling motor. Pros and cons between the top Minn Kotas, the one that deploys itself, or the manual deploy. Both are GPS equipped. Thoughts? Steve from Seabrook. Again, thanks. Well, that's pretty much up to you. And I'm a Minn Kota guy. I've done Motor Guide, I've done Minn Kota, been both ways, but I've had way more superior service and success with the Minn Kotas. I mean, that's just me. You know, Motor Guide makes a great product, too. And the self-deploy, they had a little trouble with them, but I think they've got all that worked out. Everybody I know has had pretty good luck with them. I think Bill had a couple of issues, and my buddy Vaughn did, but for the most part, it saves a lot of, you know, if you're getting older in years and you're not as strong as you used to be, that self-deploy is definitely a good thing. But if it does break, you're screwed, so to speak. It's down, and how do you get it up? But I'm a manual guy. I like pulling the string and holding the handle, pulling the motor up and setting it down and deploying it manually myself. That way, if there is an issue, I can always get that trolling motor up or down. And you can, you know, the GPS equipped, that's good if you, you know, for the anchor spot lock system and all that. So it's up to you. All it costs is money, Steve. That's all it costs, just a little more money. And here's another one. Thank you, Captain, for a great show. What's your go-to combo on reel and rod for artificial? Stay safe. Thanks, Dan. Well, there's several of them. You know, I've been throwing 13 fishing reels for quite a while now. And I've learned which ones I like the best. I think probably they're tried and true, the most dependable one, bulletproof, that's fail-safe and lasts the best is the Concept C. That's the white one. I've still got, I mean, those were the first ones I ever fished with, and they still work perfect. I loan them to customers and everything, and they hold up real good. Right now, I'm throwing the Boss. That's that black reel. It was actually made for freshwater and bass fishing, but it's holding up in saltwater. Cliff Webb's got one, too, that he's been throwing a lot. And, boy, they've cast really good. They've got the zero bearings in them. And I'm using the TXZ. That's the TX zero bearing. That's the kind of seafoam green-colored reel. And the original TX, I had nothing but great luck out of those. And the same thing with the TXZ. And, you know, if you want a little cheaper version of it, you can go to that orange reel like the, that's the orange one. That's just the Z reel. They call it the Concept Z. And it's a little more affordable. But if you got a little bit of extra cash, go ahead and go with the TXZ. And I use a Castaway rod. I use their Invicta. I've used, you know, I use the Nano and the Skeleton and all their Skeleton series. But my two go-to that I, you know, if I had to get out of the boat and that's all I could throw, it'd be the Invicta and the Donk. That's the action. The weight of the rod is called a Donk. And then the Wader Medium Light. Both those and the Invicta, I mean, they're doing a great job for me. I've been fishing with them a year now, and they've held up really good. I like the taper of the blank, the fast tip, the backbone. You know, it enables me to, you know, because I don't try to sling my lure a country mile anymore. I'm a one-handed caster. I don't do the Trinity Bay swat anymore like I'm popping cork fishing or anything. I throw one-handed, and you can throw them a country mile. You can launch them like a catapult, and it's all time, and it's like throwing a baseball. And with that concept, you know, with the 13 fishing reel on that particular rod and the way I fish and chunking lures all the time, geez, it's a godsend. It's keeps you fresh all day. You don't get tired and worn out. And you still have that capability to set out on a really big fish, a bull red, and winch him in and go ahead and get him off so he doesn't ruin everybody else's fishing. And works out real good. But let's see, there was another report I was going to throw in here real quick before I do some more text. I talked to Bob Green yesterday. Now, I didn't get a text back from him last night because they were thinking about closing Fayette County down. He talked to one of the park managers there where he runs out of, but I didn't get the text last night, so apparently they didn't close it down. He said that place was full, all the cabins were full, and fishing's really been good. It's really picked up the last few days and this week. Now, he said Lake Bastrop has been closed by the LCRA, and for closures like that on ramps and things on those other lakes above him, just go to the website lcra.com. And he said at Fayette County, what he's doing, he's fishing is really good. Rattle traps are working really good early and shallow, and then as, you know, the day heats up and the sun gets up good, you know, after he uses shallow running crankbaits and rattle traps shallow early, then he'll move out a little bit deeper using swim baits, especially in 5 to 12 foot of water. And they're producing real good later, and even going to Carolina rigs later than that and working that 5 to 12 foot range. You just got to find, you know, when they first leave the shallows, they're in that 5 foot range, and then as the day goes on, they end up about 12 feet off these shorelines, and Carolina rigs are working good. And he said shaky heads are working good up around the dam area, you know, working those sandbars and those rocks and all those areas on solid fish, and they're catching those in 2 to 3 foot of water by the dam. And he said all three generators were running, and lake level, you know, is normal, and water temp 76 already up there, so it probably after this week it'll be even a little bit warmer with these really warm temperatures we're having. But so far so good. You know, everything's still running on Fayette County, and they got good fishing going on up there right now and catching some pretty solid fish, you know, some 5 and 6 pounders, and just good solid action. He said it's not quite as good as it was when I went with him last year when they got real shallow and we were throwing Yum Dingers and stuff up in their shallow Texas rig, and just, I mean, we were thumping some really solid fish like that. But that will come too. All right, getting back to text. Now, if you have a, you want a question or, you know, anything, naturally we don't have phone lines. You can't call and we can't call out. But text me at 713-480-6713, and I'll try my best to answer any questions you have out there. But it's all good. But anyway, let's go to this next text here and see what's shaking on this one. Oh, he just said, thanks, Captain. Love your show. All right, let's go to the next one. Said, talk about some memorable trips with some of the old boogers back in the day. That's from Sicko in LaPorte. We all know who that is, old champ over there. But, yeah, that's memory lane. I'm hoping I'm going to get we got Sharky coming in, Sharky Marquez from Outcast Charters. He'll be coming in Saturday, and he's going to spend the whole time here at the show. Actually, he's going to bring his setup, and we're going to do Facebook Live during that show. So I'll try to have the studio clean and looking as good as possible. I'll even try to put on makeup that morning. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. But I'll have Sharky in for that day, and I'm trying to get Blaine in. Some of these guys are getting cancellations now due to the coronavirus thing, and hopefully I can get Hillman or Friermuth or somebody like that in. And then, boy, if I can get Friermuth in here, you talk about some memories now. Or even if I could get Plog to get out of Tiki and come up this way, if I don't lock him down there, and get him in too. If you want some memorable stories from back in the old days and some unbelievable fishing trips, we could definitely burn the microphones up on that. But great guys, man. But here it is. The guy that made the comment earlier about poor fishermen who can't afford barbless lures said, poor guy, without all your regular motor mouse, you're going to talk yourself hoarse. Yeah, that's possible. I'm a talker, but not usually by this much. But anyway, it is what it is. And we want to keep this show going, and you know, I know everybody appreciates it, and I appreciate all of you, all the sickos out there. It's just it's a good mix we have here. Let's see, what have I not touched on this morning? I talked to Will Kirkpatrick yesterday. I almost forgot all about him. He gave me a real good report, and, man, that guy's just a plethora of knowledge. I mean, what has he not seen? But a real quick rundown on Rayburn before we have to end the show. Lake level is at pool up there at Rayburn. It's at 164.4, and the water's in the low 60s. Some fish are spawning, but he's saying the spawn, you know, up there on Rayburn, it lasts 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, you know. And, you know, watch the bass's bellies that you're catching. You know, check out that gonadal opening on the females. And, you know, by the middle of April, these bass will begin to chase small bait fish after the shad hatch and everything else. That's when, you know, small plugs will be very productive, is what we were ended up talking about in that. And, excuse me, I had to clear my throat. But anyway, he said you got to downsize your tackle and your baits. We even talked about that when you go to throwing these really smaller, kind of what we call micro baits. These bass get on that because you get the shad hatch and then the spawn, and, you know, you've got your, after your bass do their spawning thing, their fry, they'll feed and nourish off the shad eggs. And, these shad always like to spawn near hardwoods or bulkheads, any kind of, you know, vertical type structure where they can make those eggs stick. And then naturally the bass spawn, as those fry grow up to fingerlings, that's what they feed on. But those smaller shad, once they roll out in the lake, that's when you get that schooling action of the bass that have already spawned, which will start feeding on the shad. And you just got to stay with them, and you got to downsize your tackle and baits. We can elaborate more on that tomorrow. But unfortunately, we're out of time, but we're going to be back in the morning, or I'm going to try to be, God willing, the creeks don't rise or anything like that. But we'll get back at it again tomorrow, and appreciate everybody tuning in.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.